Some of the most famous conspiracy theories involve aliens and UFOs. Like the Roswell incident that Rob just referenced, when an Air Force surveillance balloon crashed near Roswell, New Mexico, back in 1947, rumors circulated that it was actually an extraterrestrial spaceship. So by the late 70s, tens of thousands of people, including some of my own relatives, believed that not only had flying saucers landed, but the U.S. military was holding actual aliens on secret bases like Area 51. Actually, these rumors are so persistent that Hillary Clinton just promised that if she's elected, she'll finally open up the secret files on Area 51. In the meantime, what is it about our obsession with UFO conspiracies? David G. Robertson is the guy to ask. He's the author of UFOs, Conspiracy Theories, and the New Age. Raymond Tongakar tracked him down.
So, David, there's a turning point in the late 1980s, and you start to see books coming out that make explicit connections between UFOs and New World Order conspiracy theories. And one of the key texts was this book by a guy named Milton William Cooper. I think it was called Behold a Pale Horse. I mean, it sounds like it was a pretty influential book. I read The Guardian even described it as the manifesto of the militia movement. What can you tell me about this book?
Behold a Pale Horse, the title is a line from Revelation. William Milton Cooper was involved in the militia movement and committed Christian, so he comes out of that right-wing kind of world, shall we say, you know, the John Birch Society kind of world of conspiracies. But he brings the UFO stuff back in much more overtly than it had ever been before. There were hints of UFO conspiracism, even as early as the mid-50s, behind the flying saucers and books like that. But William Milton Cooper makes it explicit. And not only that, but he ties UFOs into this vast narrative, what Michael Barkin would call a super conspiracy. So a single narrative that ties a lot of these discrete little conspiracy narratives that had been going along for a while into this one great all-encompassing narrative, which also involves UFOs. And William Milton Cooper had been in the Navy, I believe, during the war and claimed to have seen a UFO rising out of the water by the aircraft carrier he was working on, and this led him to investigate. As a book, it's pretty terribly written. It reads more like a sort of dossier of papers and unrelated scribblings and photocopies of typewritten government documents kind of slung together, but that kind of only added to its mystique, really. And this vast conspiratorial world where the American government are not only aware of UFOs, but are actually working with the UFOs in a large-scale conspiracy, was to become the kind of Rosetta Stone of conspiracy theories through the 90s.
I mean, on paper, it sounds kind of ridiculous, right, that the American government would be behind this vast conspiracy involving aliens. And yet, as you mentioned, it actually gained traction. People actually believed it at the time. Why did it appeal to the UFO community at this time?
People still believe in it very strongly. It's a very widespread narrative. And I mean, it was the central narrative behind The X-Files, for instance, which was an astonishingly popular TV show. Why did it appeal to the UFO community? Very simple. It explained away why the government wouldn't admit there was UFOs there. From their point of view, it had been 40 years of people claiming to see UFOs, right? They were certain that there were UFOs. Many, many of them were certain that people were being abducted by UFOs at this point, you know, in the mid-80s. They were under the impression that there had been at least two, probably more, crashes, which again, the government seemed to be covering up without any clear reason as to why. And so the idea that the government not only knew about it, but were covering it up because they were involved in it, offered an explanation. If you start from the premise that A, there are UFOs, B, the government's covering it up, and then try and work those two things out, it's a perfectly logical answer.
Yeah, it's like an illogical explanation, right? Where the absence of evidence or a denial of aliens is in itself evidence that aliens exist and there's a government cover-up.
Right, yeah.
Well, you devote a whole chapter to the British conspiracy theorist David Icke, and Icke's main conspiracy theory is probably the strangest idea I've ever heard, even in the world of conspiracy theories. Could you talk a little bit about what his main idea was?
I think you're probably talking about the reptilian thesis.
It is, yes.
Yes, indeed. It was published in 1995. So that by this point, he's become disillusioned with the New Age stuff and is actually kind of looking for what is the counterforce that's preventing the New Age from arriving. That's the kind of important thing to remember. So he still thinks that the New Age is coming, but is getting confused as to why it's taking so long and starts looking for this negative force in the world. The thing about Icke is Icke comes up with very few ideas of his own. His real strength is in synthesizing all of the ideas that are going around in the counterculture into bigger and bigger, more cohesive kind of narratives. And he proves it in his usual style by doing a vast sweep over the entire history of human kind of culture and picking out various places where there are reptilian looking symbols in prehistory, and the snake in the Garden of Eden and these kind of ideas, the dragon.
Mm-hmm. And he also says that some of these reptilian extraterrestrials, I mean, they're among us, right? Like, they include some of our most important figures, people like George W. Bush and Queen Elizabeth.
Indeed, yeah. Many of the ruling elite are hybrid forms of these reptilian aliens. That's right. And also, don't forget country singer Kris Kristofferson.
Oh, that's right.
The idea is that the pure reptilian aliens don't kind of interact with humans directly. They have these hybrids who have been deliberately put into positions of power. This is a variation of the ancient aliens kind of theory from Eric von Daniken, where not only did the aliens come and affect the evolution of humanity in prehistory, but they stayed and became our gods and our rulers. Hmm. So these bloodlines continue on.
You went to one of David Icke's presentations at Wembley Stadium.
I did.
What did you hope to discover when you went there?
I had lots of different things I wanted to discover. I mean, part of it was quite simple. I'm writing about the man. I think I owe him to be fair and to chart the evolution of his ideas and show how he moves from one thing to another and brings new ideas in. I also wanted to interact with people who subscribed to his views. There were 6,000 people there that day.
It's 6,000?
6,000, yeah.
So what were these people saying to you? I mean, what did you think of them?
The people I met around David Icke were all really quite friendly and open people, by and large. There was a lot of couples there. That was something that surprised me quite a lot.
Huh. Interesting.
We tend to think of, you know, the typical conspiracy theorist, you know, is a upper working class middle-aged male, but there was a lot of couples there, and interestingly, there were a lot of very sort of close couples. They were sitting cuddling up during the event and things.
Hmm.
The gender balance was about 50-50, which was very surprising. There was a wide age range, very young people up into their 70s, right the way through.
The way you describe it, it sounds like, you know, a nice normal picnic at some amphitheater.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not the first person to point this out, but these people are not insane freaks, you know, they're very normal people. In fact, by and large, they were more open-minded and more gentle than most people I meet in my everyday life. Sure, they have some strange beliefs, but I sincerely think that in most cases, at least in the more sort of New Age left-wing side of it, that they're initially coming from a very a kind place. They're looking for reasons why the world is not as kind to people as they would like it to be. And the conspiracy narrative gives a very good reason why that is the case, because there is a negative force in the world and it doesn't want, you know, it doesn't want us to change and become a world filled with love. It wants hate and fear and so on.
So you're saying that some people turn to God for meaning, other people turn to reptilian humanoids?
Right. But I would say actually it's closer to turning to, you know, starting to see the devil. And something like witch hunts is a very good example. Or the reason I talk about the satanic ritual abuse scare in the book as well is because it's a very similar example. People are looking for reasons. Why is America becoming filled with these kind of evil images, right? Why is our morals decaying and so on? Why are they voting Democratic and and becoming atheists, right? And the reason that these people came up with is that there's networks of Satanists, whatever Satanists are, you know, they're actively seeking to undermine American values and Christian values. And in some cases worse, you know, actually physically doing evil horrendous acts if it was true. Of course it wasn't, but it's not only conspiracy people who see these mysterious dark agencies working against their religious commitments.
David Robertson is the author of UFOs, Conspiracy Theories, and the New Age. Raymond Tankekar talked with him.